You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Everyone, and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, and what a superb day it is on Saturday. There's something for everyone. We've got top quality flat action at Newbury with the Greenham Stakes, the feature on their card on Saturday, and there's great racing over the obstacles at Ayr as well. The feature race on that card is the Scottish Grand National. We've also got the Scottish Champion Hurdle on that card as well. Good supporting action too, with racing on the level at Thirsk. They're jumping at Bangor, and that's the afternoon taken care of, and into the evening we're racing at Nottingham and Wolverhampton. There's also an Irish card at Limerick. You can join myself, Sam Norris. I'll be in the studio with John Budden and Rory Delaghi. Really looking forward to the action on Saturday. We'll be live from 1:15 p.m. Hopefully you can join us for all of it, and here to take a look ahead to a couple of events on Saturday, Tom Morley joins me in the studio. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, thank you, Sam.
Spring has sprung, Tom, over the last few days.
It's
been
warm.
Very nice. Yeah,
I'm sure.
So nice they couldn't even run a race at Cheltenham yesterday.
Yeah, I know, that was a bit, I would say it was the right decision.
It was, yeah.
I can understand some disappointment, obviously, but you know, if you choose the other decision and something goes wrong, then you're on a hiding to nothing these days. So
quite right, yeah.
But yeah, very strange. And I guess some of it is to do with the fact it's been miserable the whole time up to now,
yeah.
And cold, and yeah, maybe horses just aren't acclimatised to it properly, and therefore they were suffering from it, you know, the heat and the exhaustion a bit more than they had been before. But you know, at least Cheltenham acted on their feet, and you know, with the dismounting,
yes.
and obviously the cancelling of one race. So
yeah, it's been said many times before, but it goes without saying, horse welfare has to be of the utmost importance. And as you say, the correct decision was hopefully arrived at, albeit it will be a slight disappointment to Connections. But I think that the Jockey Club reporting that they're going to be compensated, they couldn't have handled it much better, really. And this is a sport where various organisations are regularly criticised for their handling of things, but I thought Cheltenham were spot on yesterday.
And exactly, if they had taken the opposite decision or and something had gone wrong, you can just only imagine the other organisations who might have been popping up with various things to say. And in this day and age where, quite frankly, you can't breathe without someone having a go, it's just not worth it anyway. Mm. And you know, horses' welfare is paramount at all times.
Yes, certainly so. Let's look back on some of yesterday's action. What a good Newmarket as well for the Craven, of course, their big race of the week. Great to have top quality action throughout the course of the week at Newmarket. And Massar took the Craven Stakes in fairly taking fashion in the end, stretching 9 lengths clear of White Mocha, who just got the better of the odds on favourite Roaring Lion on the line. Massar, the winner, has obviously, as a result of that, been shortened for the Guineas and Classics later on in the season. Did have a run under his belt in Maidan. Also in the Breeders' Cup, of course, behind Mendelssohn Massar. But that was a very eye-catching performance yesterday, and you sensed that it was more than him just having race fitness on his side.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but be impressed. I mean, ultimately, he's won by 9 lengths and really barely had to move any muscles to do it. And yeah, race fit, but didn't run well out in Maidan. But I guess the obviously had some hot weather whilst out in Maidan, which
bit of sun on his back,
which might have helped, you know, put him slightly further forward than some of the others. Yes, Roaring Lion was probably underperformed for certain, and maybe this year it's going to be a slightly different actual kettle of fish for that horse. Maybe it'll have need further. It was a little bit keen, so that underperformed. But you still have to beat, and Massar never looked in danger of anything. I mean, White Mock has come through for second, but we're talking about a separate race.
Yeah.
I mean, that was never in the race. Roaring Lion would have come second if it hadn't at least tried to challenge Massar to some degree, whereas the rest didn't. So, unsurprisingly, it's been shortened quite considerably. Mm. Whether it can repeat the trick, I guess, is the question, or whether that was its big day.
Got a little bit of a soft lead yesterday.
It certainly wasn't put under pressure, and And I think, I mean, I watched a few of the races. There were a fair few races where you had to be quite prominent anyway. So, you know, it will certainly have a lot more, well, obviously there'll be a lot more strength and depth in the actual Guineas, and you'd think there'd be, it won't be allowed such an easy run. I mean, quite which of people like Aidan O'Brien's horses will turn up is a bit of a mystery still. But naturally, I mean, it's no surprise that it got absolutely, you know, because it was quite a long odds, wasn't it, before the race?
Yeah, well, it was fairly sizable, I think. Yeah,
so you know, it's shown, obviously, Gustav Klimt's run, but then you've got this Massar has run, shown its form against some that haven't been out at all. It's got to be clipped heavily in, hasn't it? Because it couldn't do anything more than what it did.
Yeah, 5-1 is Massar for the 2,000 guineas, behind Gustav Klimt at 5-2. Saxon Warrior is also 5-1. As you say there, Aidan O'Brien likely to run a battalion of runners in this guineas.
I mean, those two for a start.
Yes.
One anticipates is going to be there. So, you know, and that's before going into
Pacemakers and what
Godolphin may run, how many they may run, and then the AN others. But so it's a bit of a mystery, and until, I guess, a bit, little bit closer to the time, I know it's not far away now, but you're probably still guessing slightly as to what the agendas are for some of them. But certainly Massar couldn't have done more than what it did.
Yes. I'm wondering on that thought as well, what the tactics are going to be like in the 2,000 guineas. Many people last year thought that Barney Roy would have won the guineas were he not roughed up by some of Churchill's stable mates. So I'll be interested to see if Godolphin throw in a couple to try and...
Yeah, and...
We've got pacemakers left, right and centre, yeah.
And that's... I always think that's the thing. If you can soften up a rival, you should do it. Why not? You know, as long as you're not contravening any of the rules, which... You don't need to contravene the rules to be able to do things like that.
Yeah, quite. 5-2 for Gustav Klimt, Saxon Warrior and Massar, both at 5-1. El Arkam is 13-2. Expertise in the betting at 8-1. We're not going to preview this race in too much detail because Tom's got better fancies elsewhere on the day on Saturday. But just on the Greenham Stakes, for which Expertise the odds on favourite for, over 7 furlongs, Group 3 prize, the feature race on the day at Newbury. Obviously looked very progressive on his first two starts last season. Won first time out, which is a big positive for this yard as they tend to improve very much so for their first run. But Stone last in the Dewhurst, sent off odds on, and he ships up into this Greenham at sort of 8-11. What do you make of his chances? It's tough to assess, I suppose.
It is, you know, aside from, unless you've been secretly watching Sir Michael Stout's string and seeing what he's been doing.
Which
on the
you haven't.
Which I haven't.
Okay.
And probably if I was out on the guts, I wouldn't know which one he was anyway.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe all the cameras would be pointing at him. I'm not sitting here thinking, "Gore, I want to be backing that at 8-11. I mean, that last run, obviously in the Dewhurst, it was poor. And therefore you've got, it does raise some question marks. You know, maybe it's gone off the track. You know, the track is a bit quirky. It didn't do much good that day. It was very keen, wasn't it, that day? You're going to have a big crowd. How relaxed is the horse going to be? Got to go over the same sort of routine as it had to last autumn. So, you know, I wouldn't be rushing in. I'm not saying it won't win, and it probably will win, but I'd be taking a watching brief on that. I mean, James Garfield, I mean, he let it off the run in America, fair enough. Expert Eye should beat it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Hey, Gammon, I don't know what price that is at the moment.
11-2, second favourite.
But, you know, I mean, to get in the first three, that was a nicely progressive horse over the last season. And if I had to do something, maybe I'd be trying to look at that, getting that one onside to come in the places. But I think for a lot of people, it will be a question of watching and seeing what Expert Eye does. And obviously, depending on his performance, we'll see that no doubt getting cut or drift and out to oblivion.
Yes, I'm sure that will move accordingly on the back of the Greenham, no doubt, on Saturday. Let's take a look at a couple of races in a little bit more depth then, too, that Tom's got fancied runners in on Saturday. We'll start at Thirsk with the 5.05, do these in chronological order. This is a condition stakes over 7 furlongs. A nice little race here at Thirsk. 8 runners line up, which is helpful for each way purposes. And we've got a few old favourites in here, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a 7 furlong conditions race. And as you say, they've obviously, a lot of them have been around a long time. And I'm going to go for a horse that hasn't won for ages, which is So Beloved, who actually is getting weight from most of these, which, considering it's rated 112 odd now, you know, is a good start. I mean, this horse has been a star over the years. Handles all ground, so whether it stays soft or whether it dries out a little, I mean, I'd anticipate it looks like a drying day as I drove up the A1 and stuff in Nottinghamshire. It looked drying to me.
Good assessment, Tom.
Yeah,
the sun's absolutely beaming.
Yeah. You know, he hasn't won since early 2016, but yeah, he's one of these horses, I guess. For handicaps, he's too highly rated, and he just lacks the ability, perhaps, to notch up group successes. But that being said, you know, if you look at the form, came second to a claim at Chantilly last year. I mean, that was on soft ground. There were other decent group race runs, just sort of fourths and fifths, but certainly not tailed off or anything. Also, he's won on the first outing of the season before, so I don't see that necessarily being a problem. I just think he should be the one to beat in this. David O'Mara's got another one, Firmament, who's quite similar in many ways. They bought this back at the sales for 48,000 in October. I mean, it's again, it's not quite good enough for group races. It's a bit high for handicaps, and hasn't won for ages again. But I prefer So Beloved over Firmament, even though Firmament's a good old stick. I guess the sort of fly in the ointment is Commander Cole, who we haven't seen for an awful long time. Haven't seen it since November 16. Don't know where he's been. Possibly in Dubai. But he hasn't been running.
Yeah.
You know, he won really nicely at Wolverhampton off 94 when last seen. But that was over further. This trip I can't see as a problem. Other win was at Newcastle, which is on obviously on the all-weather as well. So both wins were in a hood. We've got no hood here. So I think there's enough question marks, despite Sidebin Sura being in blinding form just recently. So I'm going to pass Commander Cole over, though it'll be interesting to see how he fares on his return. Kimberella's got to give weight to all its rivals, not run over 7 furlongs for ages. I'm not sure it wants the ground perhaps this soft at that distance as well. And forms on the all-weather, it's not quite as good as last year. So, yeah, it's fit, but I'll pass that one as well. Above the rest, does handle good to soft, but usually runs on faster. Did win on soft years ago. But, you know, this hasn't been seen since August, which suggests there was probably a problem after that. Slight question mark, obviously, over the fitness. So I think that needs a bit more. Bertie Whittle, well, if you've managed to back Bertie Whittle when he wins, you've done well in the first place.
Yeah.
And this is a bit above what he usually runs in. It's probably just be up to Bertie Whittle to go and surprise everyone or something, but I can't have him. Burnt Sugar, I mean, this has not been out this season. Won a handicap off 95 at Leopardstown in September, but I think there's always a question mark over Irish handicap form. Yeah, there were some good runs last year, but intermingled with poor ones. I just don't think he's quite good enough. Von Blücher, the final one, has just got a bit to find. Yeah, he won at Newcastle in January, but that was below this grade and has been last in the two runs since. So, you know, I think this is a perfect opportunity for the grand old stick So Beloved to get back in the winner's enclosure.
So Beloved, the choice then in that 3:05 race at Thirsk. For Tom, we go to Newbury then for one of the more competitive races of the day. This is the Greatwood Spring Cup, a handicap over a mile. And
don't worry, I won't go through all the runners.
Yeah, well... We might run out of time. Probably the first big turf handicap that we've had a chance to get our teeth stuck into, Tom. Some people love these races. I don't, but talk us through these. Very, very difficult to
This is very difficult. And it's more, I mean, I'm going to say this would be an each-way selection in the first place. And it's more about the horse. Perhaps that I've done this rather than looking even at the other runners or the race itself. And the horse's leader, Writer, I mean, 1 mile, that's got a tick. Soft ground, still at the moment, could dry out. Probably I'd rather it didn't, but certainly handles soft ground and heavier. I've got to think that there's still plenty of juice in the ground because the water table's so high that I don't think it's drying perhaps quite as quickly as one might have expected. This horse won at Ascot.
Ascot
track last September, and it beat Afark, who is the favourite, I think, I look at it.
7-1 market leader.
Had a warm-up this year, leader writer, fourth at Lingfield, blew away the cobwebs, and then ran in the Lincoln, was drawn on the wrong side, but came out on top of the high numbers, lost ground, sort of tried to swap sides, you know, looked in good form, ran far better than the finishing position. So I think leader writer's got everything in place for a big run here. I mean, to just look at... a handful of the principals. Afark, as I say, was behind leader writer last September. Great run behind Adabe in the silver Cambridgeshire. You know, that horse was obviously waltzed up in the Lincoln since, so you can understand why that's at the forefront of the market. But it's first run of the season, and, you know, you've got to prove again that it's banging form for its first start. Tacdeer, long absence before the Spring Mile this year, did okay, but it was very short price, heavily backed that day, so clearly better was expected. But I'm not rushing into it at this stage. Tony Curtis hadn't been seen since August. Did relish similar conditions when last seen at Goodwood, but again, that's a fairly long absence. Clearly there were issues with that horse. Humbert's translated some decent all-weather form up to the Spring Mile at Doncaster. Good second that day. I think if this horse settles a bit better, I think that, you know, looks to have a really good future, Humbert. Unexposed, unlimited potential. So Humbert would be one of my principal dangers to lead a writer. I mean, Born to be Alive came second in a listed race at Donny, but I think needs more. Horde to Combat won at Maidan, but that's the first win for years, and needs faster ground. I mean, Repercussion ran well in the Lincoln. You know, you could probably give some sort of chance or say something nice about a good number of them in the race.
Yeah.
But I thought all in, leader writer was a good each way chance.
Good stuff, leader writer. Then the choice in the Greatwood Spring Cup Handicap at Newbury. That's one of Tom's two to follow on Saturday. The other one being So Beloved in 3:05 at Thirsk. I'll be in the studio alongside John Budden and Rory Delaghi from 1:15 for all of the action. Good racing at Newbury, of course, on the level. Scottish Grand National Day at Ayr. We're also racing at Thirsk and Bangor in the afternoon with Nottingham and Wolverhampton to come in the evening. Hope you can join us for all of that. Tom, thank you very much. Pleasure as always, and enjoy it on Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.